Welcome to the Features Podcast for the fourth quarter 2010. I am your host, Lindsay Mosley. I'm the editor of Gaming Insurrection, and we are coming to you from NashiCon 2010. We are anime fans, video game character fans, and video game fashion fans, even though some of us don't like to admit that. But we decided we're going to record a show while we were here, and we're sitting outside at the Russell Union of the University of South Carolina, which is my alma mater. Go Gamecocks! And I'm joined by Associate Editor Jamie Mosley, as usual, and Contributing Editor Brandon Beatty for the first time. Say what's up, guys.
How you doing?
Yo, yo.
How you doing, folks?
Yeah, and so we decided we were going to get up here and talk about NashiCon and video game fashion in general, since cosplaying is a very big part of video game fashion. So, what do y'all think about NashiCon so far?
I think it was pretty good. I mean, it was well done. Lots of turnouts. A lot of people participated, even in events. The one thing that I was surprised about, seeing so many parents were out this time. There were parents out there supporting their family members, I guess, with them, and there was actually parents participating, so
yeah.
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah.
I also noticed that too, Jamie. Last year, we really saw, it was our first time coming to NashiCon. It was basically, at first it was kind of started off slow. It had a good turnout, but this year it was a lot more better, because you had parents getting involved, as you basically stated. We had saw a few parents, but they actually had parents actually holding their kids' stuff when they made some actually making the purchases for the latest anime merchandise. They were actually breaking out the debit cards, credit cards. I mean, some was keeping it low profile, but still, you know, it was a rough economy. And still, they were out there helping and supporting their kids in a favorite hobby. So it's basically a unity of parents and kids coming together more, making more family friendly.
Also, yeah. I thought so too. Yeah, I saw a lot of parents walking around with their kids.
Exactly.
And the kid was dressed up, and the parent, see, back in the day, like, none of the parents would have been with their kids. They'd be like, that's just my child going out there dressing up as some crazy old thing that I don't know nothing about. And they need to go on out there and be by themselves, because mom and daddy don't know nothing about that. But now, the parents know about anime. They actually, some of them even sit down and watch it with the kids. I mean, those are the hip parents or whatever. But some of them actually watch it with their kids and can correctly identify characters and know plots and things. And so, they will accompany their kids to see what's going on and actually come out and see what Nashi has to offer and that kind of thing. Like, my parents would not go with me. My mom may have come if I were younger.
Right.
My mom would have come with me back in the day, way back in the day. She would have come. And she actually would have helped me with my costume. Because, folks, I don't know if you've seen our episodes on the G.I. show from NashiCon, but I'm actually dressed right now as Afro from Afro Samurai.
Right.
And if I had really wanted my mom to help me, I would have asked her, you know, hey, Ma, I need some help with my costume. Can you help me? And she would have probably made some things for me. So I wound up making the majority of my costume, and I thought it was, you know, like, Jamie helped me make most of it because, you know, that's what husbands do, right?
Yep.
He didn't do a whole lot. Like, I mean, I had him go get pictures for me, so that I could realistically see what the headband looks like and be able to draw the symbols on it so it would look semi like, you know, what it's supposed to look like. And, you know, he did that for me. But, I mean, other than that, I kind of made, like, my own sword, and I made, like, my well, not really, I didn't make anything else because I pretty much had all the clothes anyway. But, like, my hair, like, I did up my hair, and he helped me put my headband on. But yeah, I mean, because I needed help.
That's pretty cool. For me, I didn't dress up last year at the first NashiCon, but this time I wanted to dress up for NashiCon. Originally, my plan was to dress up as Sosuke Aizen from Bleach when he became leader of the Roncars, and he is one of my favorite anime villains. But due to time constraints and logistical stuff, I decided to had a backup plan to go as Genji from the Get Backers anime series. And Lindsay, you told me you read the manga, but you actually have not seen the series.
Nope. So, I haven't read Get Backers. I haven't even watched Get Backers. I've heard of it.
You heard of it.
But I've not actually, like, watched it or seen it.
Okay,
I've wanted to.
My apologies on that one. Sorry, even we make some mistakes about it.
Yes, we do.
For me, if you have not seen the GI episodes yet, I'm dressed as Genji from the Get Backers. I'm wearing some gloves, black gloves. He originally had gloves in the series where he used to conduct electricity. He was actually known as the Electric Eel, Human Electric Eel. I'm also wearing a green vest because he had a green vest on, white t-shirt. I had white t-shirt also. And he had somewhat tight hiking boots. And I have those on myself. Of course, I'm wearing blue. He had cargo shorts in the anime series, but I had on blue jeans. But right, it was still. I know it's kind of haphazard, but still, it was pretty fun to get into that feel. And he's also seen a whole lot of creativity. We have most of the people attending made this up on the fly. You still had. I remember seeing a guy from Fatal Fury with Terry Bogard from the King of Fighters with a jacket, and that was just stylish. You had a.
I saw Rock Howard. I saw a guy dressed as Rock Howard from SNK's Fighters.
Exactly. You also had a couple of Naruto. Majority had a little bit of Naruto fans. You also had some Bleach characters. And actually, I remember seeing this one guy dressed up as Kenny Zarachi. Kenpachi Zarachi.
Ah.
And that was his way. Whoa. He basically had the eye patch, the garb, real, authentic Soul Reaper.
Yeah.
And what else they also had over there?
I think the thing that I was extremely impressed was the four, I would say, I wouldn't call them little girls, but they're not full women. It's like the four teenagers that were dressed up like Kingdom Hearts. So I thought that was really nice.
We got pictures of them.
They've been plotting and planning the whole time they were going to do this. So, I mean, everything down to the Keyblades was just almost perfect with them. I thought that was pretty good.
Exactly.
I think that the turnout was pretty good. It was much better than it was last year. More people had time to prepare. More people were getting ready.
Exactly.
I believe that in the next coming events and everything, they'll probably have this more. I'm pretty sure they have this annually now. But you'll probably see more and more sponsors, more and more vendors showing up, more and more people traveling here. So,
right.
More and more people traveling to South Carolina means more and more money coming to South Carolina. More and more money coming to South Carolina means more and more jobs coming to South Carolina.
Exactly.
So, that being said, I say, keep it going. More and more money, more and more jobs equals more and more money.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're all from Columbia. Well, okay, not all of us. I'm sorry. Not all of us. He made that face at me, too, like, you know we ain't from no damn Columbia. Not all of us are from Columbia, but Brandon and I are from Columbia. This is our hometown, and Jamie is from Greenwood. So,
South Carolina.
Greenwood, South Carolina. Yep. Good old Greenwood. So, for this to be in Columbia is a big deal. Like, you know, it's a very big deal because, like, we don't have this kind of stuff in Columbia. We used to not have this kind of stuff in Columbia. Even though it's the capital city, you would not see this kind of stuff. I mean, there's stuff to do here and there's culture here, but anime, like, people would look at you funny back in the day. You like anime. What's wrong with you? You know. You trying to be Japanese and, you know, that kind of stupid stuff. And I say this as somebody who's from Colombia. Like, we have stupid people here who would say that kind of stuff. And I'm like, you know, I'm trying to be a little bit more cultured and get outside of myself and outside of Colombia and learn about something that's not, you know, central to Colombia. Like, get off Colombia jock. Like, I mean, the city's great and all, but, like, get off her right now, please. Can you get off her? Because it's not all about Colombia. There are other things in the world besides Colombia.
Right.
So, for USC to now have Nashi, and they've had Nashi for some time now, for, you know, about a decade or so, since I was in school here, because I went to school here from probably like August of 99 to May of 2003. And I remember seeing Nashi signs around campus, but by that point, I was involved in other things, and, like, anime wasn't my thing. I didn't know anything about it other than probably, like, Dragon Ball Z. I'm a typical American. All I know is Dragon Ball Z.
For me, anime started for me back when I was younger. I was a fan of Thundercats, Silverhawks. If you watched Thundercats or Silverhawks, believe it or not, it actually had some involvement of Japanese animation, because the series was actually done overseas by a company called Pacific Animation Corporation that was based in Japan.
Yeah.
And not only was Thundercats and Silverhawks big at the time, but most of those, you know, like G.I. Joe or Transformers, the Toei Animation, believe it or not, did provide the animation for that. Or if you've seen shows like Visionaries, the old action figures from the old school, that was done by TMH Entertainment. And you also had shows like Voltron, Saber Rider, and Star Sheriffs, and Inspector Gadget. Yes, even Inspector Gadget, believe it or not, had second season had Japanese animation involved, or Japanese animation companies involved. To me, that was basically a staple growing up. That was basically made you want to think about the country, even want to go to Japan at one time.
Yeah, I watched Thundercats when I was little. As a matter of fact, we had this big debate, and I have to repeat the story because it's hilarious, but Jamie and I had this big debate about... It was a debate, because I was debating it. I was like, I don't believe that dude's name is Lion-O. I was like, I've always heard it as Lionel, like Lionel Richie, okay? But Jamie's like, no, woman, it's Lion-O. And I'm like, you lying. I'm a child of the 80s. I know better. No. His name is Lionel. Like Lionel Richie of the Commodores. And he's like, no, go look it up. So I went and looked it up. I actually went on Wikipedia and looked this up. And it's Lionel. So I was like, okay, yes, I feel stupid now. as a child of the 80s, I should know better. That's like confusing the Ninja Turtles. Like, what's wrong with me? So,
don't worry, I got love for my Ninja Turtles too. I grew up watching it too, so.
Which, there's a lot of people here that, know about that kind of thing.
Oh, true.
And the reason why I say this is because they had, like, Thundercats stuff down in the, they had Thundercats bookmarks, I think, and down in the little shop. And I was like, yeah, we had this huge debate about that. Yeah, Jamie says there was no debate, but, you know, I insisted that it was Lionel. So, yeah, I was wrong.
I know that Brendan said that watching all those animes in old school and everything, he wished that he went to Japan. While I was younger and everything, I was watching Voltron. The only thing I was wishing is, I'm going to be a pilot of one of those lions. That's what I'm going to do. That's exactly what I want. But I could never figure out which lion I wanted to be, because I didn't want the black one, because everyone wanted the black lion.
Yeah.
I didn't know if I wanted to be the green one. Couldn't be the blue one, you know, and the blue one's for girls.
Hey, man. Hey. Look, check this out. We could be pilots, too. You ain't got to talk junk.
She was. She was a princess, and she was piloting the blue one. That's the reason why I say I wouldn't take the blue one.
But why I gotta be for girls, man? Why you gotta quantify that?
Because when she was kidnapped, in episodes when she was kidnapped, no one touched her line. Oh. Apparently, only people who have female DNA can touch that line.
Oh, I see. So I guess it was for girls.
It's kind of messed up, though, because the original series, and some of the original episodes involved one of the characters, Sven. He was from Sweden, and he was a space explorer along with Keith, Pidge, Hunk, Lance, and one time he was the original pilot of the Blue Line.
The Blue, yes.
But however, due to some episodes, depending on how people look at it, he was actually cut. He actually had a smaller role in the series, in which Princess Allure had to become the Blue Line pilot.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a kind of debate back in the day. But as far as Jamie wanted to be a pilot of the robot lines, one of my main series of the decade was Robotech. And that's what I'm talking about, folks. If you ever heard of Macross Saga, Sovereign Cavalry Cross, or Genesis Climber Mospeta, that's actually a combination from the Robotech series. And Robotech series, Macross Saga, I wanted to fly those fighting robots, those fighting Valkyries. Turn into a robot, taking on the Zentradi. Be honest with you, I want to control the whole SDF SDF-1. That was a ship. Forget the space shuttle. The SDF-1 was the big deal.
Well, I mean, I was not I wasn't too big on that kind of thing. I really wasn't. Like, I didn't want to be a pilot or anything like that. I just wanted to do, like, I just like watching TV shows. And I like watching animation. So.
Watch out.
Oh, it's a squirrel. Hey, look. This little squirrel is, like, interrupting our podcast. If you guys can see this, this is the most adorable little rabbit animal. He is like, give me something to eat, y'all. And he's, like, really sitting here looking at us. He's like, give me something to eat. He's really not afraid of humans. So, he's really not afraid of humans at all. Wow. He's adorable. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to talk about anime, y'all. Look, for y'all that don't know, squirrels here at USC are very bold. They are very bold creatures. They have no problems coming up to people demanding things to eat. They are not afraid of humans at all. They're simply not afraid of humans. So, I mean, they will come up over to you, especially if they've been fed before. They're used to being fed, and they will come over here and, like, attack you if you don't feed them. So, I mean, you know, that's why you don't go sit on the horseshoe and eat food, because the damn squirrels get crazy. So, anyway, what were we talking? We were talking about the fact that I did not want to pilot things as a small child. Like, I didn't really particularly care about that. I just like watching TV shows. And I really liked watching stuff like Thundercats, He-Man. I liked He-Man. He-Man was hot. Because I did kind of want to fight Skeletor, because Skeletor was an ass. But, yeah, I didn't particularly care for it very much.
Skeletor wasn't the ass. Evil Lynn, maybe, but not Skeletor.
Hey, squirrel. Like, don't come back over here. Seriously, the squirrel's sitting here looking at us. Again, he's looking me in the face. He's like, give me something to eat.
We don't have food. I'm sorry.
He's like, give me something to eat, people, or I will bite you.
So any PETA,
they are like stealth rats with bushy tails.
This episode of GI is cruelty-free. We do not believe in cruelty to animals.
Like, I'm not going to hurt him. He's adorable. Like, I wouldn't hurt him or anything.
All we're asking for is to please leave us alone.
But PETA, if y'all could see this squirrel, even y'all be like, he need to stop. Oh, and then he's scratching because he's dirty. He's a dirty little animal. Oh.
But anyway,
that's
your podcast.
That's USC for y'all. I mean, that's like, squirrels are like the bane of people's existence at USC. Anyway, we were saying, I did not particularly want to be a pilot because, like, I couldn't get into mechs and stuff. Like, mechs just weren't my thing. But, like, I liked He-Man. I liked adventure-type shows. I even watched a little bit of Inspector Gadget. I watched Inspector Gadget, but it was so stupid. I was like, come on, y'all. How can y'all not tell that the dog and the child, Penny and Brain were the ones doing all the crimes, like solving all the crimes and stuff. Gadget's like the most ineffective, incompetent buffoon that could have possibly ever been created.
But he was like this high-powered buffoon that has every gadget you can think of.
Yeah.
Go gadget legs. Go gadget arms.
Now the fact that whatever he wanted to use, he'd be like, go gadget whatever. That was kind of high.
He even had the gadget mobile, and that was like from a little four-wheel minivan turns into a sleek police car. It basically had stuff that make any SWAT team drool with envy.
Yeah. Well, also, the thing about Gadget was Don Adams did the voice, and he was the man, because I love Get Smart. For all you old school folks, Get Smart was that show. Agent 86 and Agent 99 were, like, the agents.
Exactly. You also had Frank Weller, the guy who does a well-known voice actor. Most of you may know him for his voice as Slimer and Ghostbusters.
Oh, Frank Welker?
Frank.
Yeah, he does voices for everything. He's in like everything.
Or in '97 a remake of the Godzilla. He was actually the voice of Godzilla in that version.
He also did the voice of he was in Aladdin. He did the voice of Abu.
Oh yeah.
He did Abu and Raja the tiger. He did like all of the incidental like animal voices and stuff.
Exactly. How can I forget? And oh yeah, Cree Summer. Have you, most of you growing up watching the series A Different World, that was a spinoff from The Cosby Show, she was also a very renowned voice actress herself, playing the role of Penny for...
Yeah.
Matter of fact, she did it took her original role in the episode of Robot Chicken.
Yeah, Cree Summer was crucial. She was. Didn't you like Cree Summer, Jamie?
Yeah, Cree Summer was pretty good. I remember the first time hearing her actually doing a voiceover. Was Elmira on Animaniacs.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah. So, Elmira on Tiny Toons.
She was on Tiny Toons, yes, that's correct. That's right. And then later on, she was on Pinky and the Brain.
Yeah, she was. So, she was on Pinky and the Brain. Yes.
But exactly. I do remember that.
And she also was on Codename Kids Next Door.
Yeah, yes. She did.
She was number 5.
Yeah, Agent 5.
With the same voice as Elmira.
Yeah, exactly. She doesn't change her voice.
Oh, exactly. She changes the voice sometimes.
Sometimes, but not. But you most of the time, you can tell it's her. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that voice.
Exactly. But NosferCon here this year was also pretty special for me because it's actually my second time to come out here. I could finally was able to dress up as one of my favorite anime characters. But you also had a lot of people dressing up, as Lindsay stated, coming in for like characters as from Kingdom Hearts, King of Fighters, Bleach, Naruto. Basically had a mix of everybody. You had a guy from, let's see, there was a couple series, Gunsmith, no, but say not Gunsmith Cat. Was a blacksmith. Mm-hmm. It was a little action series from Shonen Jump, and it was a good mix. You had plenty of dark mages. You had retro gaming. You had new games. You had the new school stuff. We had Capcom versus Tetsunoko. My first chance to get hands on it. Wild as I don't know what. Of course, as anime fans, we all know who Tetsunoko was. Tetsunoko was a productions was actually a world-renowned company. So if you remember Robotech or let's say or the new series they brought out, Karas, that was brought out here in around 2006 or 2005, that's Tetsunoko for you. They're world-renowned. And you also got Capcom and their roster. It was like the ultimate battle of heroes.
Mm.
And in addition to that, you had games like Melty Blood, you had Super Street Fighter 4, which was still a top
pick. Not super.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. I am so sorry. It is Street Fighter 4, and which it was also a favorite amongst NosferCon goers, and which they played the Living Daylights out of. And you also had DDR. And it was a basic. This time, I would say NosferCon was better prepared. I want to say though that. We had Funimation Entertainment, one of the major anime providers, come in and bring some support. We also had some panels.
Yeah.
But it makes you think, okay, Funimation is supporting one of the main big time companies in anime here in the United States, supporting conventions. And it's still good to see that, despite the current economy, current condition of the U.S. economy.
Yeah. Your thoughts, Jamie?
Well, overall, I think it was very successful. I think that there's no word yet on exactly how many people was actually attended today so far. But I know the events take place all well into the night. And it doesn't conclude till tomorrow around, I think it's 1, I think it concludes or something like that.
Yeah.
So it looks very successful. Lots of people turned out throughout the day. Not just everyone just showed up one time and then left early. I mean, people have been showing up throughout the day. So I think it was highly successful. I know that they had tournaments going on constantly. Even when their tournaments wasn't going on, people were constantly practicing. So I think that overall, it was successful. And better believe they're probably having one again next year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Matter of fact, also I liked about it, well, of course, with the games. You also had... people being involved. People that actually want to go beyond anime. They also want to learn more about culture. We're actually looking at at Japanese culture. We're also getting an insight. It's just that one speck. And regardless, it helps you think more. Actually think more as a human being. You're growing up. And for here in Columbia, you know, we're on a university campus. We still, unfortunately, have some people with closed minds. But events like NashiCon is helping to cut the number of closed minds down. To actually make people want to get involved about the culture, look at anime, read manga, and improve their thinking. Yeah. And to me, it's a good deal.
Yeah.
So kudos to USC for keep having NashiCon. And also, as Jamie said, it helps bring more cash, more dinero to our state, because we need it badly. Yeah. I mean, we need it badly, folks. So NashiCon combat again, thank you.
Yeah, I think overall it was a good idea. It was pretty good. There were a lot of people here today. We got a whole bunch of pictures, and I like the attention to detail that people were paying to their costumes. Even for people like me who have like no discernible like ability to do costumes and things, people spent a lot of time trying to get that together and make it look like, you know, what they were going for. And I think that, especially mine, I kind of threw it together at the last minute, but it took a lot of work to get it right and make it look, you know, decent. And a lot of people, I think, went for that.
Oh, yeah.
And were trying really hard to get that done correctly. There was a lot of attention and effort paid to, you know, their individual costumes. So, I think overall, it was a good job, and I think that it was very well attended. And I think that next year, there will be more people showing up.
Exactly. We also had a couple of people dressed up as Lupin III, a little bit of characters in the Death Note series.
Yeah, that was Lupin III. I was trying to figure out what that girl was dressed as, and I remember seeing it, and I knew what it was. Yeah, she had the suit on and everything. It was hot.
It kind of reminded me last year when me and Lindsay went, we saw a guy dressed up as Spike Spiegel from Cowboy Bebop, which is one of my favorite anime of all time. I had to put it up there because the coolness, the jazz. This guy had Spike Spiegel down to a T.
He had it really well then. Yeah, I saw the guy last year dressed as Jack from Mad World, and he looked really good. I saw him again this year, and he was dressed as someone from Dragon Quest, so the lead character from, I can't remember which Dragon Quest, but he was dressed as one of the guys from Dragon Quest.
You were dressed up last year as Akuma from Street Fighter 4.
Yes, and most of you have seen that picture of me doing a Hadouken, dressed up as, a Go Hadouken, as Akuma, or Guki for Japanese people.
We also had, we also had seen Vegeta and Trunks from last year, and that was, their details just wow.
Yeah, they went all out.
And, I mean, it's best, definitely just kind of glad to have those type of folks here in Columbia to actually get into it. It's not just being sitting on the sideline watching anime and reading manga. You also have those that actually want to dress up as the characters, and that, to me, that's to them, that's being close to dressing up as being close to an actual celebrity.
Yeah.
As for voice acting, I don't think we had any voice actors to show up, big time names.
No.
I want to see those guys come in. I mean,
that would be nice, but I don't think no voice actors. They didn't have anything for voice acting panels now. Just because, I mean, that would require somebody, big name, to come, and that's a lot of work to get somebody to come. So
Steve Bloom, Vic Miona, Johnny Bosch, or should I say Kerry Walgreen, or any other famous voice actors, if you're more than welcome to come on down. You're definitely glad you definitely have some fans here.
Yeah. Any parting thoughts, Jamie?
More money coming in to South Carolina is always good.
Yes, you already said that, but yes, that is always good. You cannot stress that enough. You need more money at the University of South Carolina. Because, you know, then they'll stop hitting up alumni like myself for money. Contribute to the University of South Carolina, please.
I had to do a little bit of disclosure. I did go to USC, but I went to USC Spartanburg, which is now called USC FC. Go Spartans. But
yes, I attended here at the main campus, USC Columbia, and it was. I wish there were conventions like this when I was in school, because I would have come.
Exactly.
I would have come on down here, but you know,
it would be pretty good. They had a spring version and also in a fall and a winter version, but
yeah,
hopefully they'll have that sometime down the road. But for right now, 2 days, NasiCon, good to go.
Yeah.
Way to go.
Yeah. Well, folks, I'm glad we could come and talk to y'all about NasiCon and cosplaying here that we've seen today. Check us out. We will have feature up for fourth quarter 2010 as a sidebar for cosplaying here. It should be really nice, and we're going to have a lot of pictures, so hopefully the pictures will turn out well, and you can see some of the costumes that we talked about that we saw today. So, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it.